Okay. Thing turned on, it is. So, nothing like doing something totally different. I do want to read a passage to start with, but it'd be a very different night, but I do want to read 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bible with you, chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then I want you to, whether with a pen or your mind or whatever, highlight these four words that make up this one phrase, which is literally not found anywhere else in the Bible. The Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. Of course, it finishes in saying the God of, and the God of all comfort. So let's pray for our time tonight. Father, we come before you believing that every time we come together, you have something to give us. Another in and out thread of the needle of providence to weave something else in our hearts. And whatever you have for us, Lord, we open up our hearts to you, the cross stitching of our hearts, and we just lay there wide open for the needle of providence tonight, and we pray you would weave in us what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, yeah, I want to give a report of the time that was able to spend this week at Steve Lawson's expository preaching conference. It was Monday to Wednesday, and they're not here, but thanks would be to Mr. Ford, Miss Rhonda, for allowing me to go to that and scheduling that for me. So I just want to, I feel like the things that happened there are going to impact us all. And so I thought an explanation of it. They did this in Acts sometimes, you know, they would report what had happened. So, without further ado, so Monday morning, myself, Jeremy, and Tammy took out. Tammy is the name of Abby's car, I found out on this trip. And she squeals sometimes when you turn the steering wheel, and she's well tested. She's tested, you know, she has testedness. And so anyway, that was kind of funny. I heard Jeremy and Abby, they kind of have some tongue in cheek going back and forth. She needs a different car. And but she never failed us or forsook us on this whole trip. So we took out Monday, about a 5-hour trip, and during the first session, it never fails. It never, ever fails, because I'm not used to being preached to. When I do get preached to, I just feel like my heart is in the third level of the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies. And it was like the very first message. It only took Steve Lawson one lick to get to the center of the Tootsie Pop. of my heart felt plumb regenerated all over again immediately. In one part, as he was exhorting us from 1 Timothy 4. And but anyway, following that encouragement and that uplifting, there came some conviction. Two of them came at this point that I hope and intend and will result in two changes in my life. Two of the five, we'll get to them in a minute. So that takes us to Tuesday. The others came on Tuesday. An explanation of what happened Tuesday, we were able to meet some believers from Russia. Two guys, they had come over to Canada from Russia. So we thought we had it bad, a five-hour trip, and there were people from Canada there. There was a guy sitting over to the left of us, an Oriental gentleman there from Thailand. He was a pastor over there, right? A young guy, but he was, yeah. We were able to meet these, and I was able to meet Jeffrey Johnson, who has a great name. Anyway, I was able to meet him. I'd read a book by him in the past, and I was always looking forward to having a chance to meet him and ask him some questions. And I was able to meet Dr. Lawson in the bathroom. That's where Providence put us together. And, you know, I said, well, I guess while we're both in here, we may as well, while I got you locked in, we may as well talk about something. And he is basically a reformed John Crisp. That's how funny he is. I mean, me and Jeremy are just rolling the whole time. It's unbelievable how funny he is. He says his wife is serious, and so I guess they go together. But he is super funny, and I was able to meet him and talk to him and ask him one question I had that I was curious of, and Ms. Rhonda aren't here, but I told him they had sent me, and he told me to thank them. So where am I at now? Here is. Threw this stuff together. I'm used to preaching, not reporting. So then it was good, but then I got convicted all over again. So this time, three more were added. I've never in my life, I've always admired Jonathan Edwards, and I've never had a list of resolution. I never really have. I just... if I was convicted about something, I sort of dealt with it. But I just felt led to write these things down and change on the dime. I mean, he could have just kept working on me. I don't know. He probably could have got me to repent of all kind of stuff. Another day there, and I probably would have been repenting of my repentance. I don't know. And so anyway, that happened. But then, as the cup was full, I drank from the saucer. Jeremy and I went and ate it out back. And afterwards, he asked to go for a walk and share something the Lord had been putting on his heart, a desire of his, and something that was on his mind. He just wanted to pitch it to me. And, wow, so that led to a change for Jeremy, and that one will lead to a change for the whole church tonight. And so I'm super encouraged about just these convictions the Lord just seemed pleased to just do. And the not just convictions in the heart that stay in the heart, you know, like a seed that never comes out of the ground, but convictions that were immediately ready to go into actions and come bursting forth from the dirt and bear fruit. And so I guess there's seven of them all together, so there's like five for me and one for Jeremy, one for the church. I guess I'll do mine first because I'm more excited about Jeremy's and the one for the church. And you'll see why in a minute, but just it's real awkward talking about yourself. And so I don't really know how to do this other than just to do it. But it did feel necessary. You know, if we had multiple elders, I'd be like, okay, now, like when something needs to be said about me, you say that? You know, but that's not the Lord's will at the moment. So, five convictions that are going to lead to five changes. Very quickly, there are these. Steve was on the first night preaching on 1 Timothy 4. Verses that I have taken to heart before, but apparently had some blind spots that have creeped in. My window that was once clear apparently had gotten some fog and defrost on it. So anyway, that was the context. Of course, give you a better feel of the context. It's the part in 1 Timothy 4 where Paul is telling Timothy to literally be just submerged in these things. And painfully submerged in these things. So I felt in my heart it's a total personal conviction. I felt bad about it too because it's sort of a fad today to, you know, get off of social media, and there's various kinds of awkward motives you can have for that. But whatever it looks like, it was genuine conviction from the Lord, and so I won't be on social media. You know, no flag to wave or nothing, or totally may not be the Lord's will for anyone, thinking of anyone else's life, just thinking of my own. And you know, why would I bring that up? Well, obviously I won't be able to post, you know, the sermons on social media. And if some of you would still like to have those shareable and that sort of thing, obviously someone else would have to pass that baton to someone else. And Ryan offered to do it. Corey offered to do it. If Ryan is tied up or something, so that's taken care of. Also, if someone were to message me on social media, I don't want to appear rude like I'm not. So if some people have done that before. Number two, I felt the Lord, this Jeremy offered me this advice. As we left the first meeting, I was sharing with him my conviction in my heart about my time. And he offered a wonderful piece of advice that I just could see immediately needed to be applied. And that is, some of the meetings I'm sometimes involved in are open-ended. You know, they just start that way. We're just having a meeting. And I've been in meetings that last 5 hours, trying to convince someone of their sin. I've done it. I'm obviously not against it. If I knew it would work, I would have a 10-hour meeting. You know, if I knew the end goal. So it's not about it being worth it, but the wisdom Jeremy was giving me was, you know, if you set boundaries, like, you know, we got an hour to deal with this issue. You know, well, suddenly it's like packing a suitcase. Like, there's only so much you can put in it. You know, so this vent and that little comment and that little comment, you got to start leaving that stuff out. I even, Steve modeled it for me. One question I had for Steve was going to require a pretty good amount of time. And he said, if you can make it quick, and my answer can be quick, I think I can do it. And I just didn't ask him, I let it go. You know, he's there to be present for the men that paid to come there. And this would have required him to kind of pull aside. And so stuff like that, I mean, like, it wasn't the Lord's will for his life at that moment, and he just moved on. So I need to develop that art. So that was the second thing. The third of my five, speaking of Steve, he shared something. Someone asked him about his time. Another pastor asked about his time. This pastor had a wife and kids. And Steve said, you know, he's in a different phase of life now. His kids are grown and he's just traveling. But when he was younger, and I had a wife and family, I was super convicted by what he shared. He said, my day was broken into three parts. He said, the first part of my day, I gave to God. The second part of my day, I gave to men. And the third part of my day, I gave to my family. So all of the studying and everything was done in the first part of the day. He wasn't available to, you know, every 15 minutes text. And then the second part was any counseling, any advice giving, any lunches, any mingling, any visiting, hospital visits, encouragements, checking on people, all of that had its spot. He quoted Jim Elliot. He says, wherever you are, be all the way there. And he said, if you're always available, you never really are. And because everything just becomes shallow. And your whole heart and soul is not, you know, you're playing basketball with your girl and in between shots, you're writing a sermon note down, you know. Which can be very dangerous for a pastor's family. You know that, and I do too. So, I said, you know what? I was convicted about that. Paul says, you know, there's imitate me as I imitate Christ. There's something in the Christian life of imitation. It's worthy, like, look at other men. And he's 67, I'm 35 today. I don't even know what it would feel like to double over my life again and be 70, you know, almost, like, man. So it's an act of humility for me to just humble myself and listen to him. And so anyway, I plan to do that. So, you know, again, my aim in mentioning it is not for people to know my schedule. I'm not Steve Lawson. I'm not John MacArthur. I'm not this guy that. But I'm a pastor, and I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want no one to feel like I'm being rude. And so, you know, first half of my day is Monday through Friday. I'm going to do what he did and give that to the Lord, and sort of the second half of the day from lunch on. Still be studying and doing whatever task I have, but be interruptible or go do whatever is something on the task. And then when I leave at 5:30, unless it's an emergency. I'm not going to turn my back on nobody, you know, like, obviously. Unless it's an emergency, swallow that down. Swallow it down again. My heart and my soul to my family. So that's the third change. The fourth is probably the worst. Someone made the mistake of asking Steve about his eating regimen. Like Jeremy and I were like, "What is this? Like, is he on a cereal box or something? You know, like is Steve lost an eating plan or what protein bar produces a better sermon? You know, like." It was sort of awkward, but the Lord used it because at some point he mentioned drinking coffee, and he said coffee he used to drink a lot of, he doesn't anymore because it dries out your vocal cords. And of course, I'm the preacher sitting there like, I have a question. Why I can't even talk. You know. Yeah, with my coffee. With my coffee. So I just kind of wanted them. I got it, brother. I got it. So, so that's, I don't even know why I put that in there. That one is irrelevant for y'all. I could have just told y'all four of them. The fifth one, I was super thankful to be able to hear his explanation of his conviction about clothing. What do you mean clothing? I mean clothing is not a modesty sermon. Clothing coming to church. Someone asking that question, and that is something over the years I have wrestled with. Sort of in a natural way, because our church really began in homes. So I suppose there's a naturalness to that growth. But he took the time to give his spiel on it. It was extremely touching. Extremely touching. He said, well, someone is going to say to me, you know, man looks on the outward appearance, God looks at the hearts. In other words, leave me alone for my clothing. I can come to church however I want to. I can come in my pajamas. I can come with my hair all messed up. And he said, because man looks the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. And he said, that's the point. That's the point. That man does look on outward appearance. And he said when he took a class with R.C. Sproul, who's known on the view of the Lord, he was in his class and R.C. walked in and he had all the men stand up from their desk and he literally walked down each aisle making comments on their clothing. And basically, he said to, for example, one young man, he says, you know, this is, you haven't even opened up your mouth yet, but this is what you've already told me. It was a communications class. So this was his illustration to start the class on nonverbal communication. He says, this is what you're communicating to me. Now he says, is that what you want to communicate to me? And Steve went on to say, you know, when you go on a plane, we're talking about riding a plane. How would you feel if the pilot walked in his pajamas? Not too good. The stewardess is just, you know, half awake, coming down the aisle. Like, you wouldn't be riding that plane. And he said there's a reason the President of the United States dresses the way he does. You can't go get a job selling cars without communicating seriousness. He said, why is that? He said, every culture has a way to communicate seriousness. And then he told the story. And he said, look, this is not legalism, and I'll say the same thing here. Whatever I do is not legalism, as my personal conviction, but I was strengthened in my conviction to hear and talk with an older man about it. Then once you hear it, you know, came from Sproul, came from him, you see the verses he's pointing to. It convicted me. And he told this story. He said when he grew up as a boy, he said every Saturday night, he said Sunday mornings start on Saturday night. Some of you have heard that before. He said every Saturday night, his father would come and get him, and they would go pick out their clothes for Sunday morning. And he said it was like Sunday morning was game day. And they got the shirt and they ironed their shirts together, put it to the side. They ironed their pants. They went and got the shoes and got the shoe polish. He put Steve in front of the mirror in the bathroom and stood behind him and tied his tie. Got it just right, and then pulled it off, his set it aside for in the morning. And, you know, he said that he never had a doubt how serious what was being said on Sunday morning was. And so, even Bob Jennings, who obviously don't dress like Steve Lawson, he didn't, he used the same principle with other things in life, you know, no matter what it is. You know, if you... obviously, like we know, other events, school, sports, we got all kind of things we're juggling, and so there's no kind of legalism there. But, you know, Bob said if I over... the time when the children are growing up, if like every single Wednesday night you're not there because of the basketball game, that speaks. That tells them what's important. And so, anyway, I throw that to you for your consideration. Zero legalism. You're not going to bother me if you do come in here in your pajamas. You're just never going to preach. You're never going to serve the Lord's Supper. You're never going to, you know, do anything that requires seriousness. But I was just strengthened by that and encouraged by that. And like Steve said, you know, if I were going to see the Queen today, I would dress a certain way. And he said on Sunday mornings, I'm going before a king, the king. And he said, I don't have anything more important in my week than Sunday morning. Zero. And so I just commend that to you. In all sincerity, with zero browbeating, zero, getting on to people is not it at all. It is the genuine desire to spread an atmosphere appropriate for the gospel. That's all it is. So what are you going to do, Jeffrey? Come in a three-piece suit? No. I just sort of was strengthening it, that all, and I felt like it was an encouraging thing to share. So, some of us are dads, and some of us have children, some of us just have wives. You know, you just commend to you to consider, as I'm considering for my own family, what do I do that communicates the seriousness of it through these nonverbal things. So, that's mine. What happened with Jeremy? Let's get on to the real thing. He took me for a walk and he shared with me, number one, a sense of trying to find his giftedness in the body. And, just not wanting to be idle and to really be making a difference. And he had landed on 1 Corinthians 12, that one of the gifts or administrations, the Greek actually comes from a Latin word. It means to steer. He already knew it. He had looked it up. I went ahead and read it myself this morning, but he was totally right about it. It's a steer. And so it's sort of like, the whole family is eager to go on vacation, but somebody's got to drive. The little kids can want to go to Disney World all they want, but like dad has to drive, mom has to drive, somebody's got to steer. And so the thing that can happen, apparently, one of the things we learned, I learned, it came together in my mind as Jeremy was sharing with me, because the second thought he had was needs in the church that are going unmet. And I can just say there are needs in this church that are going unmet. Many of you know that. Many of you even have great, godly, spirit-wrought desires. But as he was talking, I never saw the union of meeting the needs in administration. And, it's like kids, like some of us just, I want to help, I want to. But God has actually ordained for another member of the body to sort of know how to funnel that so that it forces this togetherness. And that together, the need is met, not singly. And he mentioned, I praise the Lord for that, he mentioned the series we're on Sundays right now on Paul's prayer for love, and the Lord is just stirring, as I know He has many of us, about wanting to meet these needs. And so, you might say, He helped me on the drive on up there. Brother, you don't need to have open-ended meetings. Damn, that was a good thought. So, you not only need a heart that just is burdened with mercy, you just want to have mercy on the poor, you want to have mercy on the members of the body, you need order, and you need administration of the mercy. God's not only merciful, but He's wise. And so, you may say, well, that sounds like a deacon. And like Jeremy needs to be a deacon. Well, he's not convinced he needs to be a deacon. I'm not convinced he needs to be a deacon. I don't know that anyone else feels collectively led by the ward that Jeremy would be a deacon. So I agree with you, that's a deacon ministry. There's only two offices in the church, the elders and deacons. So obviously everything that's mercy related is a sub function of the deacons. Even if it's delegated out to this or that or the other, it's functioning under the deacons, who are obviously interacting and functioning under the elders, who are qualified and functioning under the scriptures. Add that in there. But so you can't do that. So it left me with a question. So do we just wait until someone has the title deacon to meet the need? And the first thought I had in my mind was that would betray the whole origin of the deacon. In Acts 6, it was originated, it was born out of need. And so it would be a betrayal to the whole thing to legalistically wait until we've kept the rule, you know. So now we're authorized to meet needs. I think the Lord would look at us the way He looked at the Pharisees, grieved and angered in His heart that a man with a withered hand is not healed because we're keeping a law. So, I thought, we're just going to do it. You know, when you look at biblical churches that even have, as I said, elders and deacons, even huge ones that are biblical, they have various ministry departments and all kind of stuff that just in wisdom they've seen that they needed to have, and it's all functioning under that. And so we're just going to start sort of with a blank sheet of paper and see where it goes, see where wisdom leads it. But the starting point is we are going to have, from this meeting on, we are going to have an administration of mercy ministry in our church. And Jeremy's going to direct it, steer it, working with me and under me. And if the Lord should raise up a deacon or deacons, then and Jeremy is still not, it's not seeming that he's to be a deacon, then obviously he'll pass that on to at least the ultimate leadership of it too. That deacon or deacons, and pass that baton to them. But the Lord does seem to have, there's been a stirring in hearts, and it seems the Lord gave Jeremy an idea on there needs to be a wedding of not just a desire to meet needs, but how to meet them. And sort of a hub where all this stuff goes out. And my heart cannot be more encouraged by this. This is straight up adorning the gospel. This is, Paul, go right hand of fellowship, go preach the gospel, but remember the poor, And he says the very thing we were eager to do. And so, what will the rubber meeting the road changes be at first? Well, one thing after this meeting, if Jeremy feels like you're burdened by something, or there could be a need or something like that, he may ask you, how's this thing going? And hopefully it'll eliminate some of the awkwardness of it. Like if just a random believer is coming and there's not been this acknowledgement of what this is for, can be a little bit awkward, but now you know someone is stirred, someone is eager, the church is on board, the church is eager, and you know, you're kind of burdened by something, and he comes and he asks, you know, open up your heart, you know, tell him what is it you need, what can we do. We want to show the love of Christ tangibly, specifically, like the man in the ditch. Like, we're not talking about I'm praying for you. We're talking about I'm coming for you. And this is comprehensive. It would be a need in the nursery that maybe one kid has, and this would be someone is discouraged and they just need a visit. And Jeremy may be working to pair up an older woman to go visit a younger mother. I know my wife, she had an older woman early in her Christianity who came to visit. And, I mean, that woman seemed to have more power than I've ever had over my wife. It is something about an older woman. Like one-hour visit is like 2 months worth. And so that's part of the thing. Like, some of these needs are easy to meet. And we're capable of meeting them. And just blessing people. And that's deep in a woman's heart, especially a godly woman's heart, to know that she lifted someone's chin that day. I mean, there's fulfillment in that. And so, you know, but I also want to say it's not just for the people. I mean, some of these are obvious, but this is across the board. This is not just the heavier needs. Your child doesn't have to have a disease. You know, your husband doesn't have to be lost. We don't want someone trapped in the white picket fence, wonderful family that is burdened. Is anything. So Jeremy may be asking you, you might be letting him know, you might be someone who is burning to show mercy. Just, God, I want to just... Sometimes that happens as a Christian. I mean, the Lord is really pouring the gospel in your heart. And you just want to serve. And so, you know, you have an avenue now. Jeremy, what do we got? Where can you put me? What can I do? What a thing. Who would ever thought we would have this? I can't even caption my encouragement about it, but so that's pretty much it. If there's something even to be done outside the church, to the poor, to the world, to the homeless, it will funnel through this hub, you know. And it just, many, many, many things can happen with it, and it can be so glorious. Just one example could be, you know, maybe we got a mom that, you know, a visit would encourage her, and maybe her family is lost. And, you know, they happen to call that day, like, well, I have to call you back, you know, so-and-so's over here. And you call them back, you know, your lost parent, and like, what were they doing? They just took their lunch break and came to visit and encourage me. Like, you know, the world will see, like Tertullian said, see how they love one another. And that impacts people. That Jeremy's just been repeating it Titus, adorning the gospel. That adorns the gospel. We don't want just a white mannequin of doctrine. Naked doctrine is not good. So, why in the world did I have you open the 2 Corinthians 1? Because Paul tells us where Jeremy's desire came from. It's not multiple choice. There aren't many possibilities. It came from one place. And if you're a believer who is about to be blessed by this, I want you to know, I know Jeremy would want you to know, the origin of it. If you're one of the people that will be serving in this and your heart is burning, this verse tells you what fire, what torch lit your straw. God is described as the Father of mercies. Now what does that mean? He's the begetter of mercies. That means they come from Him in the same way that children come from a father. That means if you're in this church, something in your life is a burden to you. God has put this in Jeremy's heart because He wants to show mercy to you. What a thing. Jeremy's just a tube. All of us are just tubes. It says first He's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? The Trinity. It means the Father delights to see the eternal smile and well-being of His Son. So that's the intra-Trinitarian fatherhood of God. But when God looks with His fatherhood into outside the Trinity, into a fallen world, His fatherhood, and especially towards His children, is provoked to pity, to mercy, to compassion. I don't know about you, but that is encouraging to think that some of us have been burdened under things. Some of us have secret discouragements, secret needs. Maybe you've been carrying this thing by yourself. And maybe you do need to carry something, but maybe you've just been carrying a little too much of it. And what a thing to have, you know, you come to church, what are you going to hear? That God wants to give some more mercy to you. That's what we're saying. So, obviously, in presenting all this information to y'all, we don't have time to pray. And I'm not going to try to cram it in and make us all late. But what we could do is pray for this. What we could do is pray, because this is the hub to all the other needs. So what we could do is pray for Jeremy, that the Lord would give him wisdom and insight. That the Lord would give me wisdom and insight, working with him, to meet specific needs that the Lord would allow he or I to see where some of y'all's hearts are burdened and wanting to serve, how that can intersect with a real need. And whatever else would come of it, that the Lord would reveal those things, you know. I guess I'll ask one person to pray for this ministry that the Lord seems to have given to us. And then we'll leave. Obviously, any questions, you know, or something, or concerns, you can come to me. But I'm assuming, you know, a very little concern about a ministry of concern. But I wonder if Jeremy Poe would pray for this. Jeremy Poe is one of the members in the body that the Lord will sometimes give a soft heart for the poor, a soft heart for the homeless. But we need the wisdom to go with these things. And so it seems fitting that he could pray for Jeremy, for the church, for this, to have a certain definite impact on believers and unbelievers.
I don't want to be too quick with anything, but I was wondering if we could lay hands as we pray for Jeremy, and maybe you, if that's something you, I just felt led to do that, and I feel like it would be good for the body as we get ready to engage in this kind of ministry.
We could let Jeremy sit maybe in one of these chairs here, and I could get on one side of him, you could get on the other. I think we may have trouble with everybody being able to, a little bit of logistics with the kids, and that seems fitting.
We believe that, Lord. We believe that you're faithful. And Lord, what a blessing and encouragement to my heart it is to hear a burden is being met, Lord, and the needs of our church, Lord. There's a desire to see it administrated. There's a desire to see the hidden needs, Lord, that need to be met that aren't known, and the needs that are known. So, Lord, we are thankful for that. We're thankful that Jeremy has felt led to do something about it. And so, God, as you give him a willing heart and a mindset for these things, these upcoming things, Lord, we ask that you gift him in such a way, Lord, that you would providentially cause his heart, Lord, to be led in certain directions and towards certain people, Lord, that he feels that maybe this person could meet this need, or or so-and-so can meet this person's need, Lord, whatever it might be, Lord, that you might lead them in that. Through your word, Lord, but also through your spirit, God. Lord, because we don't preach an anemic gospel, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and we know that you can direct Jeremy's mind and heart towards a brother or a sister who's in need, and a brother and sister who can meet that need. So God, we praise you and we thank you. We praise you and we thank you, God. I just want to say that over and over again, Lord. We praise you and we thank you that you are holy, holy, and holy, Lord. That we get to worship and desire of God who loves us and is the Father of mercies. So Lord, as we worship the Father of mercies, Lord, I pray that we would be merciful. For by being merciful, Lord, we shall receive mercy. So God, don't let us be unmerciful towards those who have, Lord, who for whatever reason may have hurt us, Lord. Lord, let us not be unforgiving in our heart, Lord. Something I have to preach to myself, Lord, every day. Lord, that we would meet needs, Lord, inside and outside the church. Lord, that we would be burdened by the homeless, Lord, the poor, the widow, the orphan, Lord. You have a special place in your heart for those people, Lord. God, for people like Zacchaeus, who had to climb a tree to see you, Lord, and you looked up and saw him and said, I am coming to your house today. Oh God, that we would have a willing and open heart like Christ. God, to meet with tax collectors. Lord, even if it, according to the world, may bring shame to our name, Lord, but you see our hearts, Lord, you see the needs that are being met. And what a great glory it is, Lord, to see those needs met. So God, we pray. We pray for our church. Pray for every heart in this room, Lord, that you would burden us, Lord. That you would convict us, Lord, as you've convicted Jeremy and Jeffrey these past few days, Lord. God, that we wouldn't go around acting like we're something, Lord, when we're not. We wouldn't pretend to be something that we're not, Lord, that we would be meek. We would be open and willing, Lord, to, as I remember Justin preaching on, Lord, that we would be willing to even be humiliated. God, that we would get on our knees, Lord, and beg and pray. Lord, that we would roll in the mud, Lord, with our children, wherever they are, Lord. God, that we would be willing to be humiliated, to serve, Lord. I beg of you, O Lord, that you would give us a love that surpasses all understanding, Lord, that is kind, that is gentle, that is patient, always willing, Lord. So, Lord, we pray for these things. Amen.
One final clarification before we go that I forgot to add, that's important to add, is these changes, I don't want them to be misunderstood. They're not meant to work less. They're meant to work more. They're not meant to serve people less, either the ones that I'm making or these. They're meant to serve more. And to swing the bat of service with a full stroke when we do service. So just want to get that out there. There's 0% retreat and pulling back. It is, if what's that?
Exact
opposite. It is, how can we squeeze the absolute most out of our lives? Out of every minute, out of every hour. That will glorify Christ the most, help each other the most, encourage each other the most. So, we're dismissed.